Well, it is Mother and Sunday. I thought I'd do something slightly different today. So we're going to begin with a quiz. A quiz on mums. It's Mother and Sunday. So probably what we do, hopefully it won't cause a split in the church, but we'll have the south side and the north side team. Now, I know it's going to be quite difficult for you to confer together, but I'm sure you can kind of signal down. Okay, 10 questions about mums in the Bible. There's a lot of mums in the Bible, so I want to see how many you remember. Okay, you can get the Bibles out if you want. Good luck, because you can find it in the time. You know it already, Claire, anyway, I'm sure. Right, okay, we'll start with the... This is the south side, isn't it? South side, you're going to go first, okay? First question. It is multiple choice as well, so you've got three choices. So I'm not going to hand it over. I know that makes it really easy, but there we go. I want to encourage everybody, you see. Who was Samuel's mum? Was it A, Abigail?
You're not the wrong side.
B, I'm not passing it over, so sorry. B, Peninnah, or C, Hannah? Got someone confident here. Are you having me to take an answer there, team? It was Hannah, 1 point, to the north side. Right, south side. Your question is, who was Isaac's mum? Was it Salome, Sarah, or Rebecca? Confident up here, aren't they? Are you happy for me to take an answer? Go on, Claire, who was it? Isaac's mum. It is one of them, yeah. It's Salome, Sarah, or Rebecca, one of the three. Who is it, Anne? Sarah. It is Sarah. I don't know. Yeah, Abraham's wife was Sarah. Isaac's mum. Yeah, Sarah. Well, that was a bit shaky anyway. It's a good job there's no prizes. Right, north side, who was John the Baptist's mum? John the Baptist's mum. Was it Mary, Elizabeth, or Joanna?
Elizabeth.
I think we're quite confident on this one. Go on, Charles.
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Well done. Well done. They're getting the easy ones, are they? Okay. That's because I know you guys. Obviously, you know, you've got your... So, question four. Who was Seth's mum? Was it Deborah, Bathsheba, or Eve? I think you've probably got it. Who was it?
Eve.
It was Eve, that's right. Yeah, Cain and Abel, and they were Seth. Two all, I reckon. Eve. Yeah. Question five, I'm going to swap this round, that's probably a bit. Who was Joseph's mum? Joseph from the Old Testament. Was it Leah, Rachel, or Rebecca? He had a lovely coat, but who was his mum? Oh, that's got him. Sheila, who do you think?
Rachel.
It was Rachel, yes, that's right. Well done, well done. Yes, Jacob had Leah and Rachel. Rachel was the one in favour over there. So it's 3-2, okay. I go back because I did spot this around. Who was Jesus' mum? It was Mary, well done. Yeah, that's already been mentioned a couple of times, hasn't it? Okay. I didn't want to be accused, you know, too easy. Right, number, where are we? 7. Who was Ishmael's mum?
Who was that?
Ishmael's mum.
Who was some choices?
Oh, you want some choices here? Okay. It's Hagar, Bilhah, or Sarah?
Yeah, I'm
going to see. Sheila thinks Hagar. What do you think? Hagar it is. Yeah, well done. Yes. Yeah. That was when... Abraham thought that he wasn't going to get a child from Sarah, so Hagar was Sarah's servant. Who was, south side, who was Solomon's mum? Was it Bathsheba, Tamar, or Michal? Solomon's mum. Have we got an answer? Bathsheba from the back row there, yeah, well done, well done. Oh, very good, 4-all.
It's not 4-all.
Well,
it's 5-4 at least, or 6-4. Good. He's got one wrong, so we can't.
Well, we're still working out the how they compete. We're not. So, who was? Okay, final question on this side. Who was Jacob and Esau's mum? Was Was it Rebecca, Rachel, or Miriam? I'm sorry, what part was it? I've just done the options. You're listening now. I'm going to focus on this part of the team. Get too much. Who was Jacob and Esau's mum? Rebecca, Rachel, or Miriam? The confident one there, Liz? Rebecca? You're right, yes, it was Rebecca. She was Isaac's wife. That's where we got them up at the start. Okay, final question. Who was Timothy's mum? Was it Lewis, Eunice, or Phoebe? Who was Timothy's mum? Lewis, Eunice, or Phoebe? This is the one that got me actually when I did this quiz. It is kind of the decider, not according to your wife, isn't it? Anyway, yes, it can be the decider, yeah. Exactly, yes. His mother and his grandmother are mentioned there. I got them muddled up when I was trying to answer this online. But, have you got an answer? You don't have to. I can there's some stuff about it. It's part of your team, isn't it? Anyone got an idea? Anyone want to have a spam? Mary, you said Lewis. Yes, that's who I said. That's grandmother. So it was Eunice. The problem is in there when Paul writes to Timothy, he talks about when he writes this, he talks, he mentions the grandma first. That's why I always think, yeah, Lewis gets mentioned first, but she's his grandmother, and Eunice was his mother. Oh well, anyway, we won't worry about counting the scores, but it's interesting, isn't it? How many mums are given prominence in the Bible? And I could have had a tiebreaker question could have been which mums or which ladies were at the cross and saw witness Jesus on the cross. But the problem with that is that the gospel writers are not all in agreement, and that's the tricky thing. Just been reflecting a little bit this week. Welcome, do come grab a seat wherever you like. But there is some agreement at the cross. So all three, Luke wisely doesn't mention who was at the cross. He just said there was a lot of women that followed Jesus, and there were, you know, some of his disciples were there. But Matthew and Mark and John all mention certain names. John's the only person that mentions Mary, Jesus' mother. They all mention Mary Magdalene, so I think we can confidently say she was there. And then Matthew and Mark mention Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, or James and Joseph. And I think that's probably the equivalent of who John mentions that we heard earlier, Mary, the wife of Clopas, potentially. They're one and the same person. So that just leaves, and you might have discovered this already, but I was interested in, that just leaves John mentioning Mary, Jesus' mum, her sister was there. And in Matthew and Mark, the other person they mention is Salome, the mother of James and John. So a number of the writers that I'm reading about this week suggest that potentially Mary's sister was the mother of James and John. And what that means is what Jesus is doing is bringing John to his auntie, effectively, and his auntie. So there's more of a family family thing going on, rather than just linking together John, the disciple who he loved, and his own mum. Actually, there's actually a blood link as well between them, which I thought was interesting. I'm not sure what that says, really. But, I mean, the main thing that's going on here is Jesus, even to the last, is focusing in on the importance of relationships, I think. And I want to spend a bit more time looking at Paul's letter, and particularly the end of the passage we had. But Paul, too, is focusing in on relationships. He's writing to the Colossian church. It's only about 10 years old, and clearly there's a few issues there. And so he writes this letter and uses just lovely, lovely metaphor. It was a reading that we had at one of the weddings in the summer about being clothed with love and forgiving one another and looking on one another with compassion, bearing with. That's been kind of taken in some, I don't know if you've seen the comedy show Miranda, but it's a phrase that she uses all the time. Bear with while she goes off and does something else. But anyway, bearing with one another. It's a lovely phrase that talks about how we are in relationship with one another. And it recognises that we will annoy one another, but actually it comes down to forgiving and looking on one another with love and with the eyes of Christ. And then right at the end of his passage, and I'll get to the right bit here, actually, although I'm looking at the wrong bit, there's a phrase that I thought was worth spending a bit of time in the last two verses. First of all, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And in the Amplified version, it says, teach, admonish, and train one another. And what I like about that is it's about us teaching and learning from one another. It's not about just one person. Paul doesn't say, listen to your vicar or whoever's leading you. They will have all the knowledge. Actually, we learn from one another. And I think that's something really important about a church community and a varied church community. I was talking to someone this week and saying, actually, if you have a church community where everybody agrees with one another, there's not going to be a lot of learning going on because you kind of all agree in one thing. So it's much better if we come from different backgrounds and we bring different things. We bring a whole kaleidoscope of ideas that we can then learn from one another. And that's why I love the Anglican Church, the Church of England, because it is so broad. And sometimes that's a problem, but actually it means that we can learn from one another and gain things from one another. And so that was verse 16. But the final verse is the interesting one I want to spend a little bit more time in, and I'll come in to finish then. And whatever you do, Paul says, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And one of the writers I was reading about said, yeah, someone asked them this question. They said, is there a God of the paperclips? Is there a way that I can order a box of paperclips at work and honour God in the way that I do it? And, I didn't order any paperclips this week. But I ordered some photo paper, and I thought, well, we've got our second son, he's 18 next on Friday, and we've got a big family gathering, about 30 people coming next Sunday, and clearly we need some baby photos of him around the house to embarrass him. So we needed some photo paper so we can print all those photos of him to put him up. But I thought, as I reflected on this verse and about the God of the paperclips, I thought, is there a way of ordering paper that honours God, that honours this verse that Paul says, whatever you do, not just whatever you do in church, or whatever you do when you're on your knees, or whatever you do when you're reading the Bible, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. How does that work? And there seem to be two aspects to that. The first aspect is, I guess, recognising that God is the creator and author of all time and space. And so we can acknowledge him now at certain times and then unconsciously through our lives have that knowledge behind us, that actually we recognise that God has given us this day, God has given us this week, God has given us these people around us, these chairs we sit on, and the skills and the gifts that we have, the clothes on our back. So that's the one side of it, one aspect. And the other aspect is that a kind of moral aspect, really, that if we are doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, then we're doing everything as he would have us do it. And I suppose when it comes to paper clips or paper, if it's fallen off the back of a lorry, then we might want to think again. Or if we know that it was made in a sweatshop in some outer reaches of a place where people are not paid much more than pittance, then maybe that's where we can think about, are we doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus? And so it's become quite prevalent more in our society, I suppose, partly because we now source things from so far away and so many different places. We're so distant from the things that we buy, aren't we? But it is much easier to find out whether the people that we buy things from pay their taxes, or whether they have a good employment record and that sort of thing. And that can be a challenge. I must admit, I went onto the website of Go Inkjet to see whether they said whether their paper was made from a sustainable resource. I couldn't find anything, but perhaps I'll email them and find out whether they do uphold the sort of ecological values that I would hope that they would. So I think that's where this, what this boils down to. I could go on for a long time, but I don't think I will, because I think it will affect each of us in different ways. But I think part of it is the way our culture's going, that we source things from so many different places, and particularly when we're buying stuff or when we're interacting with the world in that way, perhaps this verse can challenge us to think about how we interact and whether we find out a little bit more about what we're purchasing or what we're involved in, and make sure that it is honouring the Lord Jesus. And the final part of that verse is about giving thanks to God the Father through him. And that's something we do here together, but it's something we can do in our daily lives as well. So let's spend a few moments in quiet now. I'm going to pray and then just think on what that might mean to us as individuals, each one of us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your provision. Most of all, we thank you for your provision of the relationships which we hold dear to us. And today we think especially of those that have been those mother figures to us, whether they're still with us or whether they've already passed on. But we thank you for those relationships. But we thank you too for the daily provision that you give us. And we take this verse in Colossians and pray that you would guide us into how we can live it out. How we can make whatever we do, whatever we say, honouring to you. So in this moment of quiet, we pray, Lord, that you would just jog our memories of those things that perhaps we've forgotten, those ways that we might be able to do this in our own lives. It's a challenge for each one of us. We'll give you some space now, Lord, to guide us. Thank you, Lord, that you stir our hearts in different ways, each one of us. Some of us will be focusing in on the ecology and looking after our planet. For others of us, it will be about those spread across the world who are still working in slavery to produce goods for us. For others of us, it might be thinking about local trade and how we can avoid things coming from such a distance, and actually how we can support local suppliers, and maybe other ways that you've been stirring our hearts, Lord. But we thank you that you care about each one of us, and you care enough to want us to be challenged and to think through all that we do and dedicate it to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.